Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, does that sound so good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. In my best. Oh, little Wiener's voice. I mean, yeah. Oh, that sounds so good.
It is just a welcome to the weekend. You made it to Friday. Let's face it, you're really not going to do anything today anyhow. So just let this pour over you and enjoy the start of your weekend. And that's what it says to me every Friday. Oh, my gosh. You know what we should do? Fine, we should just turn this up and let it happen. You come and go.
All right. Good stuff. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Yes, it is a Friday. And you know, Fridays now feel like Fridays again, don't they? Now that more things are opening up and stuff, you get a feel like you actually got a weekend, right? Or is your weekend going to be more like past weekends?
Yeah, for me, no, because my commute is 16 steps down the stairs, and you know my wife went to Houston. She drove yesterday to take care of my mother, who is going through some treatments down at the MD Anderson. So she left for a while, and it's just me and the dog, and it's really, you know, mostly her dog. Like, you know, that they've got this bond because they spend so much time together. So at 3:45 this morning, the dog kind of plopped on top of me in bed and was just like needed some attention, like needed a little bit of loving.
Because mama was gone.
Mama was gone. The dog needed a little loving. So Papa Bear rubbed the belly of the dog. You know, chin.
Or did the dog rub your belly?
No. The dog flopped on my belly, and then I rubbed his belly. And then the next thing you know, we were just up. So, anyhow, but it was all good. It was all good. So up early. I've already got a ton of coffee in me.
Oh, good.
We came downstairs at 4 and he whined until 5 and then I fed him. So, and now he's probably sleeping. I would imagine he's up there just snoring, sawing logs while I'm down here on the radio. I should put him on the freaking radio and I should go take a nap.
Well, all right. Mm. I heard a little slurp there.
So yeah,
a little smack of the lips. So
you guys should be enjoying a little coffee like I am.
Wow.
It's really good
stuff.
Well,
all this coffee and you with an early start, this could lead to, especially on a Friday, this could lead to Punch Drunk Mark.
Yeah.
Punchy Mark.
You never know.
A Friday. And, you know, after yesterday's rather intense show, I'm ready for a Friday. It's an Is It Just Me Friday where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest from the world of sports and beyond. It could be about anything or everything. Just hit us up on the rumbleslot.com text line 303-713-1043 and give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? Now I'll start one off. Is it just me or I have a whole new look and respect for CU's miracle win over Michigan, which was shown on ESPN last night.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you remember this game?
I just remember the Cordell Stewart to, was it Michael Westbrook?
Michael Westbrook,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, I grew up back east, so I was always a Doug Flutie, the miracle in Miami, greatest college football finish I'd ever seen, right?
Right.
But after watching everything that led up to the miracle in Michigan, this has to go to the top as the greatest finish to a college football game because the Buffs were down and with about 5 minutes left, Cordell Stewart fumbled right at the goal line. Touchback, ball to Michigan, and you're like, they're not going to be able to recover from something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get the ball back. They score. But then they go for the onside kick. They don't get the onside kick. And you're thinking, just no way. And then they get the ball back at their own, I think, 15 with about 15 seconds left, and one completion out to the, what, 34-yard line or so.
Uh-huh.
And then Stewart just throws a bomb. I mean, that ball was, you know, 65, 66 yards in the air.
Yeah.
Ball gets tipped. Perfect tip drill. There's Westbrook to make the diving catch. Wow. I had not watched that game, or I think all the things that happened leading up to it in a long, well, probably until that, the actual moment of the game.
Right.
So having a chance to watch it again last night was awesome. It was great. You know, and you had people all over the field. You had, I think Brian Griese was a backup on that team. Tim Biakabatuka was the Michigan running back.
Tim Biakabatuka. You know, one of the things I love, and I did not watch that game. There was actually on one of the NBC. What's the NBC, the sports channel? You know, they
versus?
Have their, no. They have their NBC sports channel, whatever that
NBC
is.
NBC sports.
Yeah. They had the replay of Super Bowl 32 on there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. And that was the first, that's the first time. Now I caught it. I got into it right in the second quarter, but I ended up watching it. It's the first time I've watched Super Bowl 32. Like it's the first time I've watched the game, the actual broadcast of the game. So I missed the first quarter, but I saw the last three quarters. And for me, that was, I mean, it was again, the greatest game I've ever been involved in. And just the greatest feeling to, you know, to come together to be such big underdogs in that game and to really play for something bigger than yourself, which was always important to me. But really, you know, everybody playing for John Elway and for him to win a championship after, you know, they mentioned it several different occasions, three times he had been there and gotten throttled, you know, and Phil Simms is doing the game, one of the guys that you know, with the Giants that throttled the Broncos back in the day, and Phil went 22 of 25 in that game. So, anyhow, it was kind of cool to watch that and experience that for the first time.
So let me ask you, were you just watching the game, or did you find yourself focusing on number 69?
I was watching the game, but I will be honest, there's a couple times that I rewound things and said, like a couple of different times where I was like, oh shoot, that wasn't very good, right? there's a couple of those, and then there's a couple where I was like, just dispensing justice. Let me see that again. Right? Just dispensing justice. So,
isn't Schlereth is something else?
Yeah.
I mean, he is so strong. And Mark Schlereth is one of those guys that has great big arms and shoulders and very, very strong hands. When he gets his hands on you, you are blocked.
Well, there was a couple of those, you know, in the run game, but there was a couple pass pros where I was like, oh shoot, hang on, watch out!
John, look out!
Look out! Good thing he could run. Good thing he could run. I had him on the run a couple of times. It was me and Santana Dotson pass rushing John. Watch out, you son of a gun, I'm going to get you. So there were a couple of those that I had to rewind and go, oh, shoot, what were you doing? That's not a very good set. All right.
Let me guess you. See, you're the type that I can see you like, looking at it, watching, going, that was bad. Then you get up, get in a mirror, work on it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was like, let me get out of bed here.
I got to fix this.
You got to make sure you don't get turned on that up kick. Yeah, you know. Ha! The dog is just looking at me like, who the hell is this guy that I'm living with? Yeah, that was kind of how that was pretty much how the evening went.
On the Ramoslaw.com text line, is it just me or would Stink's dog probably do better on the radio this morning?
Oh, really?
let's see. Is it just me or after watching Super Bowl 32, not only did Big Ed Hockley fit into a shirt, but Stink's playing body is about the same as Stink's quarantine body?
It's not true. I've lost weight. Hey, man, I'm down about 12 pounds.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Hey, even Raj, when I came in the other day, Raj goes, hey, you've lost some weight. Mm. Like when people notice it, right? Huh. So there you go. Huh. You just haven't seen me.
I just haven't seen you.
One.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen you.
I have not seen you in a while.
I got a haircut, though, too, which was nice.
I bet you needed that.
Oh, my goodness.
Lord,
oh, my gosh. I did. I had a couple of dove living up there.
All right. It's a Friday. We're off and rolling. Best Isn't Just Me is coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
All right, so some Is It Just Me's NBC Sports Network showed Super Bowl 32 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from Glenda.
Yes.
Glenda the Good Witch.
The Good Witch. Love Glenda.
Is it just me or Stank? You looked hot.
I was hot. It was really warm, and I was very fat. I was very,
That was a gold bond game.
Oh, my gosh. A big old belly, you know?
That was bat.
I had
bat wings game.
Yeah. Oh, there was no question. It was a bat wings game. And I tell you what, I had the body. I was looking at the body a little bit. I like the body of an infant.
Oh.
Well, you got a big belly hanging over, you like a big, you know, front side and a big butt side, right? Like you're just like this little, like very, very, I'm not going to call it pear shape, but there was just like an S curve to your body where your belly sticks out one side and the backside sticks out the other side. So, and very soft and gushy looking. Very
soft and gushy.
Very, very much, you know, like an infant before you actually put on any muscle, you know.
I think it's amazing that here you are. You've been lucky enough to play in the NFL, and even more lucky to be one of the select few to win Super Bowls. Never mind three. And this was the first time you'd ever watched any of your Super Bowl wins. That's amazing to me.
That's the first time I ever watched the broadcast. Like I said, I missed the first quarter, but yeah, first time, and I just stumbled across it too. Like, it would've been nice to know.
But why?
Why what?
Why not watch these games? You know the outcome, you know you won. It's a amazing accomplishment. It's a dream come true, and yet you never went back and watched it.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, once the season's over, you know, once the Super Bowl's over, you are, you know, I mean, you've been so immersed in football the whole time that I don't think you really want to watch it. You know, I watch so much.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, but I watch so much film, and I do, you know, I mean, I'm constantly watching tape and trying to learn and you know, looking at things, you know, I told you this yesterday, man. I had a conversation 2 days ago, just a fascinating conversation. Spent about an hour on the phone with Mike Martz. Remember Mike Martz?
Yeah, former Rams
coach. Head coach.
Coach, offense coordinator.
Offense coordinator, head coach. He took over as head coach after, after what's his head retired?
Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil retired. And just a fascinating conversation just about football in general. And I mean, we laughed. We have a lot of connections because he was coaching back in the day, back in my day in college football. He was coaching at San Jose State and he was coaching some of those places, you know, like the places that I played. And so he had coached and knows Dennis Erickson and Gilbertson really well, and they're all friends, and they'd coached against each other, and they were probably on some of the same staff. So, you know, we just had a phenomenal conversation. He's going to come on at some point during the season and kind of give us his take on things. But it was a fascinating conversation, and a lot of the things that bother me about football, you know, here's a guy that, you know, is really known for the passing game and really known for shifts and motions and some innovations in the game, in his day of coaching. And, you know, we have the same philosophy, and it wasn't one of those things that I prodded him on or asked him about. He just came right out and said, and it's exactly how I feel. I can't even watch college football. That's not football. Like, I can't even watch that game. And it just was fascinating to me. You know, just kind of, just kind of having that conversation. But we spent an hour on the phone just talking about football and, like, how would you break it down? How did you go about game planning for certain teams? What did you look at? You know, situationally, what did you look at? What were your you know, your keys and your signs? And it was, you know, obviously trying to prepare and become better at my craft and have a deeper understanding of the game. It was just a fascinating conversation.
Another one, is it just me or I watched the whole dang thing again, Super Bowl 32. My hair stood up and I cried again. This game meant way too much to me. but that's, I think that is how so many people in Broncos country felt. It was just, you know, after four disappointing losses in Super Bowls and to finally break through and to break through at a time where you didn't think it was going to happen. You guys were a huge underdog. There was a sense that among Bronco fans is, do we really want to go again and get beat badly again? Is it even worth it? You know, that was the mindset that had taken hold. And to go out and play the way you guys did and pull off the upset and what a release, what a cathartic, emotional release it was for Broncos fans. And yeah, I can completely understand why grown men, grown women, when it was all said and done, probably broke down and bawled. I can see it. That's what fans do. That's how much it matters to us.
Yeah, that part was really cool. One of the cool things for me was watching our defense play and just how good our defense in that particular game was. Yeah, they gave up some plays, you know, they gave up a couple of, you know, bigger plays and things of that nature. But, you know, we turned the ball over. We've got them 17-7 late in the second quarter and we turn it over and give them a short field to score on. You know, I mean, just things, there's things of that nature that happened in that game. But I mean, you want to talk about aggressiveness. You want to talk about a secondary. Like, there's no question. You watch Steve Atwater and, just watch him fly around and hit people. And just, I mean, he is knocking the snot out of people. Really fun to watch. Now, Steve can't catch. At, I love you. he dropped interceptions. It's like, oh Lord. That's why they called him Lumba. Hands of Lumber. I mean, I love you, Lumba, but boy, oh boy. Anyhow, but it was so much fun. Like, you know, you watch it and you're like, yes, yeah, that's exactly who I remember. That's why you're a Hall of Famer, man. He was just laying the wood on people. It was just fun to watch, man. It was really cool to watch.
Coming up next in the Morning Brew, Pro Football Focus has put out another list that is sure to test Mark's animosity towards PFF. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat like me, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Let's come as close to normal as we can. And as close to normal as we can is top eight in the West, top eight in the East, playing four rounds of seven games. So then that's what we intend to do, and our goal is to crown a champion.
Adam Silver and the NBA voting yesterday, almost unanimously, 29-1 the team's voting, on a return-to-play plan that will have the season starting up again right at the end of July, beginning of August. The Nuggets will play eight games to finish off their regular season. By the way, not an easy stretch at all. They go at San Antonio, at the Lakers, home against the Clippers. And when I say home, I guess I shouldn't even say home or away. It's just here they play San Antonio.
At Disney, right?
Yeah, at Disney. All at Disney. San Antonio, the Lakers, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Toronto, Chicago, Miami, and San Antonio again. That's 3-6. That's 8. So they'll play 8 games, and then they'll go into the playoffs. Possibly improve, hurt their seed. Does it really matter to me, Mark? I would rather be able to get some games under my belt before I even go into the playoffs. It's one of the reasons why I don't like the proposed NHL return that puts a team like the Avalanche, I believe, at a bit of a competitive disadvantage because they're just not playing high-intensity games.
Yeah.
Jumping right back into the playoffs.
That part I agree with. I think the exhibition aspect of the NHL's plan I think it's a hindrance to winning. Now, you know, you're going to have to overcome that compared to, you know, going right into it and playing meaningful games or meaningful series. I do like this for the NBA. I do like the fact, I know that finishing the regular season is really about money. I understand that. And that's okay. I don't mind. You know, I don't mind. You know, I want everybody to make money. So I don't mind that. I know they're losing money, but I want them to be able to mitigate that as much as possible. But I like the fact that you're actually playing games, that it will affect your seeding, and that, you know, that this is a great tune-up for when they actually kick off the playoffs. So I'm okay. I actually kind of like the way the NBA is doing it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
Drew Brees yesterday, first of all, apologized on Instagram, and then last night he posted a video, and Mark, you called this yesterday. You said that there are forgiving hearts out there, and do not be surprised if members of his team that were very outspoken against Brees would soften and accept apologies and be looking to move forward. And that's exactly what happened. Michael Thomas, was it DeMarco Davis?
DeMario Davis, excuse me.
Both came out and were very accommodating to what Brees had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're not disappointed, you know, and it's not like things haven't, the dynamic hasn't changed to some degree. And, you know, I always say that trust in weight gain or go with me on this for a second, okay? They're like complete opposites. Like, it's really easy to gain weight. It's really hard to lose it. It's really hard to gain trust. It's easy to lose it. You know, they're exact opposites. And so from a trust standpoint, there's a bit of a trust issue there, and your teammates will forgive you, but they're still going to watch kind of not what you say, but what you do from this point forward. So, I knew the forgiveness would be there. They've done a lot of things together. They've done a lot of unbelievable things together as teammates. And I knew there would be forgiveness there. But again, like I said, there's going to be disappointment. And there are some open wounds there. They're going to take time to heal. So good for Drew Brees for owning it, I guess. And more importantly, good for his teammates for, you know, hearts of compassion and empathy, and a lot of the empathy and compassion that they've never been given, you know, by many in the quote unquote the white community. So good for them.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Fromm with the throw to the corner, back shoulder, caught, touchdown inside the pylon. Tyler Simmons with the score.
Bulldogs Radio, Jake Fromm is in trouble for a text comment that he made that has gone public from 2019, in which he was talking about guns, saying, quote, just make them very expensive so only elite white people can get them. Ha ha. Now, Fromm, of course, came out with an apology. The Bills did not condone, of course, what he had to say, and that what was the statement from the Bills? He asked for an opportunity to address and apologize to his teammates and coaches today in a team meeting, which he did. We will continue to work with Jake on the responsibilities of being a Buffalo Bill on and off the field. I don't know how this works with Fromm in Buffalo now, because it's, you saw the reaction to Drew Brees.
Right.
Who is a future Hall of Famer, first ballot, who has a lot of goodwill already banked. This is the guy who hasn't played it down yet in the NFL, And how are teammates, how are people around the league going to react to him based on the way you've seen the reaction to Breeze?
Yeah.
I just don't know how this works with Fromm in Buffalo.
Right. I think, you know, in Buffalo, didn't Josh Allen have some issues from, you know, past tweets he made, you know, before he became a Buffalo Bill? And we've seen this before. Obviously, if you're a first rounder, you're going to get more opportunity. But again, like I said, you know, I think one of the things about the NFL locker room or the locker room in general is most of the guys are pretty honest in there. And most of the guys know that they've done some pretty stupid things when they were, you know, when they were in college and when they were in high school. And you know, it's disappointing. It's upsetting. But again, like I said, if you come in there and act and really have contrition and are really sorry, and then you're just going to be, you know, you're going to be scrutinized or watched from that point forward. But guys are going to be, to me, guys will be willing to accept you.
But is it worth it? If, from an organization standpoint, is it worth it? I get it. It's worth it with a guy like Breeze if you're New Orleans. But is it really worth it if you're the Bills with a guy that right now is just your backup quarterback?
But yeah, you say is it worth it? Like right now, can he play? Can he not play? He's a fifth rounder, blah, blah, blah. I get all those things, Mike. But again, here's what makes the locker room such a beautiful place is that you're willing to give somebody who made a, you know, who let's just hope it was a horrible joke and a terrible mistake, right? But you're willing to give him another opportunity. And like, that's what makes it a unique place, man. And that's why, you know, that's why to me, socially, you should really study how teams, you know, connect. And so anyhow, yeah, is it worth it? Sure. Sure. Now, if he can't play, you know, I mean, you're just going to release him, but is it worth giving him another opportunity? Yeah. Because you know what? You have seven other guys that white, black, whatever, that all have asked for a second opportunity. Like, let's make no bones about it. There are plenty of guys within the Bills locker room that have done things that they're probably not real proud of and that the Bills are well aware of, and maybe the general public isn't. And they're asking for another opportunity, and they're given that opportunity. And that's, I think that's, you know, I mean, that to me is what makes it a special place, and I'm okay with that.
Next on the Morning Brew.
And the defense for the Rams get off. Shotgun snap to Keenum. He hitches, looking left, now has to escape the pocket. Retreating at the 40. He is covered by Aaron Donald at the 35. Another sack for the third week in a row. It's number 99.
Rams Radio. Oh, man. Pro Football Focus keeps putting out these lists, and I don't know how you're going to be able to continue to keep up that animosity that you have towards Pro Football Focus, because they rank the NFL's 50 best players entering the 2020 season. And there's your guy, Aaron Donald, in at number one.
Right.
You've continually made the point that don't give me this, you know, quarterback business. I'm only interested in telling you who the best football player is in football. You've always said it's Aaron Donald. Pro Football Focus agrees with you. They have him at number one and Patrick Mahomes at number two.
Well, they finally listened to me. Yeah. And if you're like, but here's the problem with this list, Mike. All right. So, and you probably just, you know, breezed over this. Yeah. But you probably just,
I perused it.
You perused it, but you didn't see the glaring omission. So I'm one that says, let's not put the quarterbacks in a top 50 players list, right? They're in their own category.
Right.
I always say that. They're in their own category. And so let's just put them over on the sideline, you know, in the water and say, all right, we understand the importance of the quarterback position and we get, you know, that they have the most responsibility and blah, 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 quarterback. So let's just grade them differently. But if you're going to include them in a top 50 list, okay. If they're included, then let's include them. You know who they omitted off the top 50 list that plays quarterback?
Baker?
Aaron Rodgers did not make the top 50 of the Pro Football Focus. Automatically, the list is stupid. Even though I agree with the number one player, Aaron Donald, if you're going to keep Aaron Rodgers out of the top 50 list...
Huh.
I mean, think about this.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning has almost 300 touchdowns thrown to former first-round draft picks. Close to 300 of his touchdowns were thrown to first-rounders, Mike. Do you know how many first-rounders have caught a touchdown pass? How many touchdown passes Aaron Rodgers has to first-rounders?
I think it's only like one, isn't
it? It's one, and it's Mercedes Lewis. It was somebody else's first-rounder who's a run blocker. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars first rounder who's a run blocker. He's thrown one touchdown pass to somebody who was drafted in the first round. Again, it goes to your theory that a great quarterback elevates everybody and makes them better. And, you know, it again, and I'll give you credit for this, the dynasty that never was, the fact that you had Aaron Rodgers – all these years, who, let's make no bones about it, Aaron Rodgers, before Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes, because he is the unicorn, has made us forget a little bit about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was the most accurate, the best off-platform thrower of the football that I have ever seen. Right up until the time that Patrick Mahomes took the league by storm. I mean, he is one of the most phenomenal players that we have ever seen. Brady's on the top 50. Breeze is on the top 50. Aaron Rodgers isn't on the top 50. That list is stupid. Like, you know what? It's just another rubber stamp stupid on Pro Football Focus.
By the way, only one Bronco on that list, and that was Von Miller in at number 26.
Mm-hmm.
So... Aaron Donald in at number one.
Wait, well, I thought that Pro Football Focus said that Garrett Bowles was one of the great players of, like, he was the best tackle in football over the last four games.
I put all my arms and let him trust.
I'm sure if the list went to 51, he would have been there.
Holding offense, number 72.
although watching myself, maybe I will GB an apology. Watching myself yesterday.
In Super Bowl 32?
Yeah, maybe I did.
I'm looking at footage of the helicopter play and then how you guys scored after that on the TD run up the middle.
Yeah.
And I saw a certain left guard make a really nice block on that play.
Yeah, you know, I had my moments, to be sure.
Now, there was a play before that. I don't know if you saw this. But I chuckled and I wanted to ask you about it because there's a run play in which the Packer that you are blocking ends up like at your feet and your head snaps back and looks back like you were looking for a flag to see.
Yeah.
You know the play I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly because I had him in good shape and TD went by me and I threw him down.
Yes.
And as soon as I threw him down, I was like, oh, because, you know, theoretically, you're not, so early in my career, you could do that. Like, you could flat back a dude or throw a dude down, and it wouldn't be called. Later in my career, at that point, they started calling that. They started flagging that. And so that's one of those things that you had to work on as a player to say, hey, at the end of a play, instead of, if you've got a guy in a compromising position, you know, you used to get points for throwing him down or spearing him or whatever, right? Like in my olden days, not only would I have thrown him down, but I'd have helmet driven him. I'd have tried to break his jaw with the top of the crown of my helmet. And, that's just the way we played back then. And, you know, I threw him down. As soon as I threw him down, I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Because
you know, your head snapped back. It was funny. Your head snapped back and looked backwards.
Right. He was blocked. I drove him off the ball. He was falling down, and I just tossed him down. And TD had already gone by. I had already seen TD go by me.
Right.
And I tossed him on the ground. As soon as I tossed him, I snapped back around.
Yep.
And you know, look at, I mean, here's the awareness. And I was taught this by Russ Grimm. Here's the awareness. I knew right where the referee was. Do you see my head snap right to the official, right?
Yep.
Like, I knew before the snap where that guy was. Because, you know, I'm going to hold on every play. I want to make sure that I'm in a position where I'm not going to get caught. And I put myself in a compromising position right there. And I snapped around to look, and he didn't see it. And I was, at that point, I was like, woohoo!
The only thing
I'm
missing,
not going to get caught.
Yeah, the only thing missing was the hands up in the air like, hey, not me!
Yeah,
not me.
Well, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Right.
Don't look at me.
Oh, boo-boo. I didn't know.
All right, let's say good morning, as we do each and every Friday at this time, to our pal Cecil Lammy. Good morning, Cecil.
I want Millennial Ben to save that drop of stink going, woohoo! Because that was cool. That was cool.
What was not cool was your disgraceful performance in the ROX, Rocks Heating and Air Fan Madden tournament. What happened? You went in with high hopes. You were talking a lot of smack, and you went an inglorious 0-3.
The only one that can bring competition is Sean Drotar, but I fell asleep at the wheel against ZB, and I lost. And then against Tyler, I put up a fight and went down to the last place. So I had a choice. I can kick a field goal, or I can kick an extra point like a coward, or I can go for two, right? I can show off the manliness by playing a video game and going for two. So, yeah, I hopped on with my masculine side. I was like, I'm going to go for two. I'm going to go for the gusto. And Tyler Palumbus did an all-out blitz on me, and he got me, man. He got me.
Well, it's good of you to admit it.
Well, you'll be thinking about that all offseason.
Yeah, and here's the great thing for us. Because of your ineptitude in Madden, it has given us an opportunity to smear Paxton Lynch for now, 2002 straight days of the Paxton Lynch smear campaign. So for that, we owe you a thank you, my friend.
Wow, and it's a smear every day until he's done with the league, or even after he's done with the league.
Oh, we'll be piling on for years.
Yeah, for years.
I mean, and isn't he done?
Yeah.
Your fourth string in Pittsburgh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I want to ask you, Cecil, serious question, just your thoughts. You cover this team. You're around this team on a nonstop basis. You're in the locker room. One of the parts of the Vic Fangio story of this week that came out were some comments, chief among them from T.J. Ward, saying, hey, what I've heard is that there are a lot of guys in that locker room that don't like Vic Fangio. What is your sense when it comes to Fangio and the players and their relationship?
Yeah, you want the truth? A lot of those guys are gone. You know, so you come in, you figure out who's on board, and then you clean house. Now, his approach has been different, right? Because VJ tried being a player's coach, and then the second year, VJ tried to have an iron fist, and everyone was like, ah, yeah, that's nice. And then Fangio came in, and he just had a different way about him. And some guys didn't respond well to that. Some of those guys are no longer here, but there's still a presence in that locker room that, you know, needs to warm up a little bit more. This is much different than I was expecting, because when Vic Fangio was hired, I reached out to Bears players, I reached out to Bears media, and everyone to a man said, I love this guy. And what Bears media people told me is that Vic Fangio, he gets the players to love him because he treats them as an individual. And he finds out about each young man. He, you know becomes friendly with them on that basis. And that was as a defensive coordinator. Those guys loved him. Danny Trevathan, other guys, they loved him. Absolutely loved him. Wasn't the case in Denver. Again, it's just kind of where this team was. What this team needed, honestly, was some of that Fangio kind of old school, let's go type of mentality. And like I said, there were some things along the way. The Von Miller Bluetooth speaker thing, taking a speaker out of a guy's locker, And then Ray Jackson telling him, like, ah, you probably shouldn't do that. You know, that's something that, you know, you have to get used to, right? As a head coach, you're now making these decisions. So, again, along the way, there have been some bumps, but it's to be expected for a first-time head coach. And I'm not making any excuses for Vic Fangio. I'm just laying out the message there, right? I know that the attitude from the players, and this is from the older guys too, Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, etc., is that if you do your job, that's where you'll get the love and respect, right? And it's something to earn with Vic Fangio. He throws around compliments like manhole covers, right? James Merrillat always says that, and I steal it from him every time. So, you know, with Vic Fangio, it just takes some time for some players to warm up to him. Not everybody has. And that's God's honest truth.
Unless, of course, you're Garrett Bowles, and then he praises you with with compliments, and it irritates. And you know this as well as I do, because I've talked to a lot of guys in the locker room. They hate it. It irritates them because they are all like, hey, if I played like that, I'd get benched. So, you know, that's going to be something that Vic Fangio has to deal with. And these are real-life locker room issues that he has got to be better about, and he's got to learn from his past mistakes. There's no question.
Right.
What was the overall takeaway that you heard and that of the guys that you talked to? I know you're friendly with a bunch of guys over Vic Fangio's. There's no racism in football comments, and I think they were taken out of context. And I've supported Vic Fangio on that.
Right.
But what was the overall sense of the locker room?
Eye rolls, you know, and something where we all. If you know what's in a man's heart, you know, okay, immediately when he says those things, I thought, you know, he's going to have to come out with something afterwards. He's going to have to correct himself. He's going to have to make sure to put this in the right frame, because he was doing, like, on-the-field stuff, you know? And as soon as he says meritocracy, you know, all of us around the game can go, oh, I know what he's talking about, and I know how much he's missing the big picture. And that was the, you know, kind of sentiment from guys in the locker room. It's like, you're missing the big picture. And the big picture, the macro, is what you need to be considering, what you need to be talking about. I think it's ridiculous, you know, in this, you know, situation when people are like, oh, Vic Fangio's a racist and all that kind of stuff. Like, no, he's not. He's never been that. He doesn't have that in his heart. Again, you know what's in a man's heart, and then give him the opportunity to, you know, expand on what he needed to say, because he misspoke, right? And again, not making excuses for him, but just knowing that there was going to be an apology, there was going to be something else added on, not because, you know, it's a PR move, but because that's what's in his heart. Right? This is a good man. This is a man that cares, and you know, that's a thing where you give him the opportunity to do that. He's done that. I'm sure he'll be addressing the players in person as soon as he can. And that's the situation. And with handling just kind of the coaching attitude, if you will, this reminds me of a Tom Coughlin situation. Because when Tom Coughlin was Iron Fist Tom Coughlin, things didn't go as well as they needed to. When Tom Coughlin softened up, became Grandpa Coughlin, right? Hey, come on, it's Grandpa Coughlin. I got the Werther's original on my desk. Come over, have a candy, sit down, talk to Grandpa Coughlin. You know, I'll bounce you on my knee, whatever. That sounds creepy. But anyway, you know, if Fangio can maybe soften in that way, you know, that's where Tom Coughlin had great success, won Super Bowls with the Giants. So, you know, there's a little bit of old school there with Vic Fangio. Let's see if he can, you know, change his stance a little bit in terms of just his approach with all the players in 2020.
The ROX Rocks Heating and Air Fan Madden Tournament. You can check out all the highlights at 1043thefan.com and just second guess and dissect what went wrong. What went wrong for Cecil Lammy. Cecil, pal, thank you very much.
Be good, fellas.
All right, there you go, Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
It is and Is It Just Me Friday. Coming up, all right, on the heels of this conversation, just how important, Mark, is it that your players like your coach? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.